For the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about the living Christ. The city of Jerusalem is asleep. All the shutters are closed tightly to the cool, silent air as it whiffs its way through the narrow streets. Outside the city wall, pilgrim tents dot the landscape under a star-spangled sky. All is quiet. The Passover is finished. The excitement of the past few days is through for another year. As the first gray streaks of dawn pierce the cover of night, a faint rooster's crow heralds the new day. It's the first Easter. A lone figure is seen coming over the Mount of Olives east of the city from the direction of Bethany. It's a woman. She clutches a bottle of spices. She's hurrying. She follows the road down the Mount of Olives, crosses over the Brookhead Run. She skirts the city wall, going toward the north hill, where 2 days before stood three crosses. It's Mary Magdalene. She's going to the burial place of Jesus. She was one of Jesus' true friends and followers, and now she's going to show her gratitude. She's going to give him a proper burial. She had seen him die that ninth hour, that horrible Friday. He had died in the afternoon, and there was no time to give him a proper burial before the evening sent all the people to their homes to observe the Sabbath. Now she's going to make amends in love and honor. As she hurries up the North Hill, her thoughts travel back to the first time she saw Jesus. The scriptures state she had seven demons in her, which meant she was severely or mentally ill. She was no doubt depressed, feeling all alone. Probably fear gripped her being like phobias today. She no doubt felt guilty. Anxiety and worry made her feel helpless. Life had no meaning. She had no hope. At that time, she went to Jesus. In his compassion, Jesus recognized her plight, and the scripture states he cast out seven demons from her. And Jesus took her hand and lifted her out of her mental turmoil and gave her a new life, a life in which she found peace and purpose and love and happiness and hope and meaning. Now Jesus was dead. He had died before her eyes. She watched him die. She remembered how she tried to tell him that even though all the others had fled, she had not. But now it was too late. All she could do now was to go to the door of the tomb and hope that it was open and anoint his body and give him a proper burial. As she approached the tomb, she caught her breath. The stone was rolled away. The sepulchre was empty. Someone had stolen the body. She was too late. In her grief, she bowed her head and she began to weep. Despair flooded her life. She felt the pangs of loss. Jesus came to her and said one word, Mary. Suddenly, with glad bewilderment that flooded her personality, she cried out, Rabboni! Oh, my master, what a beautiful sunrise that first Easter. What a wonderful dawn of eternal life. He lives. He lives. Jesus Christ lives. She ran to the disciples to tell them the good news, but they would not believe her. And then Jesus appeared to two on the way to Emmaus. They hastened back shouting, He lives. Later in a locked room, some of the disciples in the depths of despair and loss were visited by him. They broke out of the room crying, He lives. Still later, in yet another room, a doubting Thomas falls on his knees and cries out, My Lord and my God. 2 weeks pass, and seven fishermen, disciples on the shores of the Lake of Galilee, acknowledge the risen Christ. He lives. Years later, there's a bright light in the sky, and Saul falls on his face in the desert, and Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then Paul cries, "My Lord and my God." A Hindu in India in 1948 saw the risen Christ in a vision beckoning to him, and he became a Christian, and he cries, "As he lives in my heart and my life." Christians today experience the living Christ when they seek him with all their hearts and their minds and their souls. And so, to millions of Christians, Easter is real. Jesus Christ lives today in their hearts and their lives. Of course, there's skeptics, there's cynics, there's doubters, and there's those that say impossible. Yet the facts are true. In science, we try to prove that two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen make water. But in the scientific process, we start with the product water and we separate the two gases, hydrogen and oxygen, to prove our formula. In other words, we take the results to prove the facts. So this morning, let's apply this scientific method to the facts of that first Easter. What was the situation after the first Easter? All the disciples were changed men. They all proclaimed he lives. Across the 20 centuries of time, this doesn't seem to prove anything, only that a few men and women said that Jesus lives. But let's see the results against the facts of that day. It had all come to an abrupt end on that horrible Friday. All the hopes of the 11 disciples and the followers of Jesus had plunged into the bottom of the well of total loss. Their whole world, their entire life, had come tumbling about them and lay in ruins at their feet. Jesus was dead. Jesus, their leader, their friend, their guide, their God, was dead. What hopes they had built around him. Their lives had been common and drab. He had transformed them into hope and purpose and meaning and strength. They had followed him. They watched his miracles. They listened to his wisdom. They saw the crowds herald him. Why, only last week, they heard the crowd yelling, "Hosanna in the highest." They watched Jesus, his sharp wit and deep thought, challenge and overwhelm the Pharisees time and time again. They were sure Jesus would make himself king. They were sure that he would put away disease and bring back the good times. And they would be his secretary of state and cabinet members and rulers in his new kingdom. And then all of a sudden, their world collapsed like a ton of bricks crashing into the sea. Jesus was dead. They heard the clatter of Roman armor on the streets. They ran for their lives. They darted into secret houses and they bolted the doors and they cringed at the slightest noise. Fear gripped their minds. Sorrow flooded their souls. Today, what we call Good Friday, to the disciples and followers of Jesus, was the darkest day of history. They had expected to see him ascend to a throne. Instead, they saw him nailed to a cross. And then came the resurrection. What a difference the resurrection makes. Contrast the failure of Good Friday to the victory of Easter. These same men who fled for their lives on Good Friday after the resurrection, boldly preaching the living Christ on the street corners and in the marketplace of Jerusalem, defying the threats of prison and pain and death itself. Before, they had been weak, quarrelsome, self-seeking men. Now they were men aflame with God's love and purpose for mankind. How do you account for this transformation? There is no explanation except for the living presence of Jesus the Christ. Nothing this world can throw at them can quench their hopes. They have seen the empty tomb. They have experienced the living Christ. You can't buy their silence. You can't threaten them with death. You can't stop their faith. Why? Because they have confidence in the living Christ who said, "Lo, I am with you always." He has kept his promise. Who can doubt him now? Across the centuries of time, the words of Jesus have transformed men and women, boys and girls in every generation. His living presence has given them strength and peace and healing and confidence and life. Mary, the miracle of Easter is the miracle of transformation. This is the miracle of Easter, the miracle of human transformation. Mary Magdalene is the miracle of Easter. She and everyone else like her who has found a transformed life through the living Christ. And what about you and your life? Do you find yourself living a shallow, meaningless existence? Do you find problems and irritations that keep you upset all the time? Are you worried about your future life? Is temptation dominating your life? Are you so wrapped up in yourself that you feel like you're going in circles? Are you so fed up with a routine of living that you'd like to die? Why not? Why should we live lives struggling and worry with worry and anxiety? Why not try to run our lives? Why not stop trying to run our lives all by ourselves? Why not let the living Christ take over the controls of our destiny and find real peace and confidence and meaning in life? He'll give us hope. He'll give us power. He'll give us strength. He'll give us a new life of meaning and purpose. And then we'll shout with his first disciples, "He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives in my heart today." But it's up to us to decide. Easter is the dawn of a new way of life. On that first Easter, Mary Magdalene shows us the way. She went to the Master. Today, we too can seek out the living Christ through worship in his church, through praying every day, talking to him as we would a friend, through Bible reading, reading a page a day in the Psalms and a page a day in the New Testament. And the living Christ will speak to us as he spoke to her. Let's have a moment of silent prayer when we ask the living Christ to come into our hearts and our lives today. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, send the living Christ into my heart and my life and help me with my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, send the living Christ into our lives. Give us peace and love and purpose and happiness. Bless us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.